We've been using the movie It's a Wonderful Life as kind of a backdrop for our Advent series this year. My personal favorite movie. Jimmy Stewart's my favorite actor. I've watched it, I don't know, a zillion times. Some people have never watched it. I really stayed awake through the whole thing. But it's an interesting movie. If those who haven't seen it, let me explain it. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to hear about that one later. George Bailey is a young man who's got dreams. He's got hopes. He has aspirations. He wants to do great things. He wants to travel and see the world. And he's born in this small town of Bedford Falls. And he all of his plans, somehow life and circumstances and events get in the way of his plans and his dreams. Responsibilities rise up, and he ends up taking over charge of the family business, Bedford Building and Loan, that his father starts. When his father passes away, he takes over and runs the business. And gets to the end of the movie, or the end of his life, he finds himself at this point where, because of circumstances out of his control, the buildings and loan is out, large sum of money, facing bankruptcy, and he is facing potential in prison. And he's desperate, and he finds himself praying, you know, thinking, Lord, it would have been better if I just hadn't been born. And he's given an opportunity in his life to see what his life, what life would have been like if he had not actually been born. What difference it would have made in his family, his friends, his community, if he had not been there to do the role, to play the part that he had played. The first part of the movie unrolls. We're introduced to him, and we're sharing his life, and we see all the events, the major events in his life. And the one that we saw this morning was his wedding day. No doubt they had plans and dreams that day. They picked the worst possible of all days. It was the day that the stock market tumbled in 1929, called Black Tuesday. He sees the building alone in trouble, and he takes $2,000, which would have been a couple of years' worth of wages in 1929. He had all the cash that he has, and he goes back, and he saves the family business. His plans completely changed. Our reading this morning came from Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. In fact, if you go ahead, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We see another man's wedding plans change. The best laid plans of mice and men, huh? You know, we love to make plans as people. We love our organization. It gives us a sense of somehow control over our destiny. If I've got a good plan, things will be okay. But what happens when expectations, when plans are changed? How is our story revised and edited? Here we find Joseph. He had plans, dreams. He dreamed of marrying this young girl, Mary, taking over the family business, the carpentry shop in Nazareth. He'd probably already made, in his own shop, he'd already would have made his wedding bed. And then he heard the news that changed everything. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. They were betrothed. We think of engagement, but this is kind of like a step beyond engagement, but not quite married. They were legally bound to one another, but they had not consummated the marriage. They had not been together. But they were all, in fact, defective purposes married. In fact, the only way to end this betrothal was to end it by divorce, just as if they were married. And here they're in this situation where they are already, for all practical purposes, married, and Mary is found to be pregnant. And Joseph finds himself in a need to make a decision. He can publicly denounce and divorce her, which would leave her open for humiliation and even possibly death, because adultery or fornication could be punished by death. Or he can set aside Mary quietly, keeping her honor at the stake of his own honor. And that's his decision. Verse 19. And after her husband Joseph, being a just man, a good man, a righteous man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Let's deal with this as best we can, but let's not ruin her reputation anymore. Let's not hurt her anymore. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, there's an image here. As he considered, he'd made his decision, but he continued to think about it. He continued to pray about it. He continued to seek the Lord's wisdom in this. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph does as the angel says. He takes Mary as his wife. And when the time comes, he does indeed call the child Jesus. It's an act of deep love, both for Mary and for God. For Mary, whom he loved, that he would take her. Love for God, that he would obey, even when it changed his plans and didn't make sense. Without a word, silently and faithfully, Joseph takes his place in the story of God's redemptive plan. Verse 22. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This prophecy was made by Isaiah. That was read this morning as well. The prophecy they found was found in Isaiah. It's interesting that this prophecy would be linked to the birth of two children. See, in Isaiah's time, Isaiah is prophesying in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom have been separated. The northern kingdom has joined with Damascus or Syria, and they're going to attack the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom is living in fear and concern what's going to happen. Things, these people are coming against us. And Isaiah comes to the southern king and he prophesies and says, look, everything's going to be all right. Ask for a sign. I'll give you a sign and show you that it's going to be okay. And the king says, oh, what am I that I'm going to ask for a sign? I shouldn't ask for a sign. And God says, look, okay, don't weary me. I'll give you a sign. Here's your sign. A woman, a virgin, shall give birth to a child. Now, in the Old Testament, what they're talking about is a woman who is of marrying age who has not yet been married. And she's going to give birth to a child, and this child is going to grow up until it's old enough, before it's even old enough to know what's right and wrong. God's promising Isaiah, the king, through Isaiah, the king, I'm going to deliver you from these people. But the king, Asa's response is different than Joseph. The king of the southern tribe here, he frets and he continues to worry. So he takes matter in his own hands and he goes and makes an unholy alliance with the Assyrian nation to defend himself, not to trust in God, not to depend on God and be faithful to what God has promised, but to take matters in his own hand. And he goes to the Assyrian king. And look, you protect me, because he's not believing and trusting God to protect him. He does protect the nation for a while, but at a huge cost. For years, the southern tribe is paying tribute and taxes to the Assyrian people, even after the Assyrians come in and ultimately take out the northern tribe. So it's really a bad example, or a good example of a bad response. Joseph's response is completely different, because Joseph's response is filled with hope and trust and faith and obedience. Listen here to verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Joseph believed and Joseph obeyed. You know, in the Gospels, he does it not one time, but three times. Matthew records Joseph's willingness to believe and to obey. There's another dream that Joseph has. Joseph gets a dream after the birth of Christ that Herod is going to come, so he is to flee Bethlehem and go to Egypt, a place that he doesn't know. Joseph gets up and moves his family from this country of his home to an unknown place. And moves to Egypt where he doesn't know the people, he doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't have a clue, but he knows he's going to be obedient, and he takes his family to Egypt. 2 years later, he gets another dream. Another angel says, Joseph, it's safe, Herod is gone, come back to your hometown. And again, Joseph obeys and moves. You know, it's interesting to me that not once in the entire Gospels, not once in Matthew, is recorded one word that Joseph says. But Joseph's obedience is recorded over and over again. Not one speech from Joseph is ever noted. His love was a love without words. His yes was in his actions. Joseph has the courage to believe God, to trust God, and to do what God asks of him. Without song or without speech, without argument or debate, he simply and quietly does what God and Mary and his child need him to do. He was, for him, an act of faith to choose to do, even though his plans had been disrupted, he obeys. Each Advent, we prepare to receive that same blessed child. It's an act of faith for us too. We too know the aching uncertainty that comes with living in a world that's not what God intended it to be. We too know what it means to cling to a promise not yet realized, but which we still believe. We too know what it is to struggle with making the right choices in a world where there seems to be so many opportunities for us to choose wrongly. We can identify with Joseph. We can identify with him in his times of confusion and moments of doubt. We can identify with him in the disruptions of his plans and the possibilities that occur as he hears the angel's announcement. We know what it is like to watch our world, both personal and public, come apart and to realize we can't get it back to where we wanted it. We know how hard it is to struggle when our plans are lost and we still have to do the right thing, even when we're not sure what tomorrow may bring. We struggle with obedience to God's will for us. We can identify with Joseph. Can we also make Joseph's choice? Can we choose to obey and follow and trust? When life turns upside down, can we believe God's word as he did? Can we follow faithfully God's leading in our lives? When we're uncertain, can we pause and take time to consider, to ask God, to look to his word, to wait upon him to lead? And then when he does, step out in faith and follow. Can we let God intrude upon our carefully laid plans and take us in directions that we never thought of or planned for? When nothing in our life fits neatly into our conceptions, can we still have faith that God has a way to hold all the pieces together, however broken they may seem, when the announcement comes from a doctor, from a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, and we hear the words, it's not good news? Can we still trust God that Emmanuel, God is with us, that he has a plan? In the helplessness and despair of our own time, can we work toward the vision of the alternative reality known as God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom? We can't see the reasons for or the evidence of why things happen, can we still trust and obey? Wide awake in our dreams like Joseph, can we listen for and obey the voice of God, trusting, knowing that he has a plan? He brought his son at the perfect time and moment. The virgin did give birth to a child who saves the world. All things are possible through him. Joseph made the choice to follow the commands of the angel, to follow the Lord's command. And this Christmas, with our best laid plans, when God steps in and changes them, can we too follow and trust in God, our Emmanuel, God with us? Father, most gracious God, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven by which man might be saved. Jesus, God saves. Our Emmanuel. The hope of Christmas, Lord, is that your Son came and is now present through your Spirit in our lives. Lord, our plans, our goals, our dreams are yours. When you change them, when you redirect them, when you reshape them, they're yours. Lord, give us the faith, the grace to trust you, to follow you, to know that this child is our Savior, our Lord, our God. We pray in his name. Amen.